Welcome to our Sunday Sermon Podcast with City Harvest AG Church. Wherever you are in life, we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Here at City Harvest, we believe in the undiluted Word of God, and the teachings here will enhance your understanding of the Scripture and will help you grow and mature as a Christian. So we hope and pray that you will be blessed by this sermon. Today's sermon is brought to us by Pastor Samuel Koshy.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I've entitled this message as In the Hands of the Master Potter. I enjoy reading the Old Testament because in the Old Testament I see a wonderful repository of stories, images, metaphors, pictures that describe who God is. In Exodus 15, we read of God portrayed as a warrior, triumphantly leading his children out of Egypt and redeeming them. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we read about a king, God, who justly rules his people. In the book of Job, God is likened to an architect who plans, executes, and lays the foundation of the world. In Psalms 23, that psalm that we greatly love, it describes God as a shepherd who cares, protects, and provides for his people. In Psalms 95, we read of a God who is the rock of our salvation, one who is unchanging and dependable. The book of Hosea describes God using an imagery of a faithful husband who loves his wife unconditionally and will not give up on her. In the text that we read, God is described as that great master potter who shapes the destiny of individuals and of nations according to his divine purposes. When you look at the text, it is God who spoke to his servant Jeremiah and said to him, go to the potter's house. I have a teaching session with you. I want to show you something. Go there and watch the potter at work. As Jeremiah stood there and watched the potter at work, shaping and molding the clay, he looked at a picture of himself, of every person, of every nation that God was molding and shaping. Do you know something? Once in a while, it's important for us to have a periodic reminder that we are nothing but clay. You know, sometimes in the hustle bustle of life, when we start winning accolades, when we get awards and citations and recognitions, we start flying high and we forget briefly, momentarily, that we are nothing but clay. We came from dust. That's where we will return. And this text reminds us that there is a sovereign potter. That sovereign potter controls the destiny of human beings. That sovereign potter has control over nations and nations' destinies. I love in our national anthem these words, Bharat Bhagya Vidata, the one who controls the destiny of our nation. You know something? No political party controls the destiny of this nation. No individual can lift their hands and say, I control the destiny of this nation. Many years ago, when the national anthem was being penned, I believe God guided that these words be put there, that the destiny of India, of its 1.4 billion people, will be controlled by this master potter. Hallelujah. If you are perturbed and troubled about what is happening in the political arena, what is happening in North Block or South Block, remember there is a king who rules, who reigns, who has no beginning, no ending, the one who speaks things and it happens. That God is the master potter. It is he who rules, it is he who reigns. The first chapter of Genesis, we have the beautiful account of God as king, speaking things into existence. There is a difference in what the Bible says and what many other worldviews believe. Some people believe that nature has existed from eternity. Not so. There was a time when nothing existed. The Bible says God spoke. And things came into being. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing. He spoke. And the world. And the worlds. And the planets. And the galaxies were created. And then in chapter 2. He did something very special. He created human beings. The Bible says. That he fashioned. And I like the way Genesis 2 puts it in the Hebrew language. Yatsar. He fashioned man and woman from the dust of the ground. Almost like a ceramic doll. He made, laid it. And you know what gave life to it? The breath of God. Ruach, the breath of God was breathed into that ceramic doll. And suddenly, man became a living being. We see God at work as the master potter, creating humankind lovingly, carefully, creating Eve from Adam's side, a beautiful image of God as the master potter. In Isaiah 45 and verse 9 to 12, this is what it says. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its maker concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. Very clearly, this text reminds us everything that is seen and everything that is unseen has been created, fashioned by the hands of this God. I want to draw three simple but powerful truths for us to ponder on. I want to focus on God, the master potter. I want to first look at the master potter's vision. For those of you who are interested in drawing, in creating things, all the right brain people who love to do creative stuff, this is for you. When you step out to make something, to fashion something, there is always a design in your mind. Is that true? You know what you are making. You set out with an image in your mind, and then you fashion what you are modeling or touching according to that design. I want to remind us this morning that when God looks at your life and my life, He already has a design in His mind. He has a form, He has a fashion, He has a picture that He has for our life. Sometimes we may not like that picture. Sometimes we may not like what He is fashioning. But remember, He's the potter. He knows what is best. He decides what is best for us. Sometimes we may resist it only to realize that we will be miserable if He removes His hand from our life. So He sets out to fashion, to make things. In Acts 15:18, it says, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." God has a plan. God has a purpose. Let me ask you a question. Do you have plans for this month? Do you have plans for the rest of the year? If you have plans, I want you to know that God has bigger plans, better plans. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts, as high as the heaven is above the earth. That's how He operates. We have plans, but God has bigger plans. We have plans, but God has better plans. And sometimes He chooses to reveal that plan to us. I like the way when Ananias is hesitant to meet with Saul of Tarsus. You see, Saul of Tarsus was breathing fire upon the church. And when God told him, "Go and pray for this man," he had serious questions. You know, I would have had serious questions too if I knew someone was radically opposed to the gospel and all of a sudden one fine day you get a word from the Lord, "Go and pray for him." I'm going to really ask the Lord, "Lord, is that really you? Am I imagining this?" And so he had doubts. Ananias is not sure, like any of us. And this is what the Lord tells Ananias: "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Listen carefully. When Saul of Tarsus was breathing fire upon the church, God was just waiting patiently. He knew that this is a chosen instrument. His time had not yet come. At the appointed time, he was going to touch the life and change the very trajectory of Saul of Tarsus' life. Listen to me carefully. Many times, he may choose to reveal what he's going to do in the life of an individual. It is important to remember, we didn't choose God. Left to us, we would have been living in rebellion. Left to us, we would have walked in our own ways. I like that verse in John 15 and verse 16 where it says, "You did not choose me. I chose you. I ordained you that you will bear fruit." Left to us, we would have walked in rebellion against God. But at a certain point of time, he stepped in because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his unfailing love. He reached down and touched you. And then he tells you, "You know what? I have plans for you. I have good plans for you. Not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 9, "Will what is molded say to its molder, 'Why have you done this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for beauty and another for menial use?' Of course he has. He is the potter. He is the one in control. He can choose to do things in your life and in my life. As Jeremiah was watching this potter at work, he began to realize that God was shaping the nation of Israel. Israel was far away from God, living in rebellion, but God was continuing to shape the nation. He has a sovereign purpose over the clay. When he picks up clay, he has something in his mind. He begins to work. For those of you parents who are very troubled about the future of your children, I want to remind you that there is a potter who is at work in your children's life. You create the right environment for them to grow up, train them up in the ways of the Lord. You do your part and leave the rest to God. In his own time, in his own way, he will touch them. Your prayers will never fall to the ground. Remember, the master potter will continue to work in their life as he works in your life and in my life. We may get worried, anxious, perturbed about their life and future, but remember, the master potter is shaping them according to his plans and purposes. You know, more than your desire of what they should become, would you teach them to say, you know what? We want you to become what God wants you to become. We release you into the hands of this master potter. Let him decide. We will give you the best education. We will give you the opportunities we can. But ultimately, it is God, the master potter, who will shape their life and destiny. The master potter has designs over your life, over my life. Now I want to focus on the second aspect from this text. The master potter's method. When Jeremiah was watching the potter at work, he noticed that there was a wheel. Now in the traditional way of making pottery, the wheel is a very important part. It moves, and that clay is held by the potter against the wheel. That wheel is moved by the feet of the potter. That wheel is under the control of the potter. May I submit to us this morning that the wheel that controls our life is not controlled by karma or kismet, by astrology, by soothsayers, or people who claim that they know the future. The wheel is in the hands, under the control of the sovereign potter. He decides how this will move. The Bible says the king's heart is in the Lord's hand. Like water is moved, he moves it wherever he wants to move it. The wheels are controlled by this potter. He takes the changing circumstances of our life and he uses it for his purpose. Are you going through some difficult moments right now? Maybe you have a difficult boss who makes life miserable. And you walk into office dreading what this day holds for you. I want to tell you something. The wheels are controlled by this potter. He takes the clay and holds it against the wheel. He does it lovingly. He does it with care, with gentleness. He's shaping that vessel. It may appear that it is hard and difficult. Maybe the pressures are getting to you and you are beginning to question, God, do you really love me? Do you really care for me? I want you to know he does. He has promised, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have always loved you. That's what it means. And so when he holds that clay against the wheel, He is shaping that clay to make a beautiful vessel. We all are familiar with Romans 8, verse 28. We know in all things, in everything that happens, the disappointment, the sadness, the loss, the defeats, the setbacks, in everything, God is working all things together for our good. Hallelujah. Your failures, your weaknesses, your inadequacies, your limitations can hold you back. But when you recognize that when I bring all of these broken things and lay it into the hands of the potter and say, God, do as you please, he begins to shape that vessel. I love that song by Bill and Gloria Gaither, which says, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Gloria Gaither was working with her daughter, Suzanne, the oldest daughter, who was painting something, and suddenly a blob of ink fell on that paper. And as she tried to redeem that, things began to get worse. And it was totally messed up, and the child was in tears. Looked up to her mother and said, Mom, I was making something beautiful for you, but it's all messed up. And that's the time when these words came to her mind. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness. Are you bringing brokenness to God? Maybe you have been going through a rough patch and you have come to this service, or maybe you're watching online and you are broken deep within. Can you offer that to God? Because our God is a specialist at picking broken things and fixing it. Hallelujah. He can take the broken pieces of our life, hold it against his wheel, and begin to make something beautiful out of that broken piece. Now, as I was reading this text, I came across that passage, that verse which says, the vessel that he was shaping was marred in the hands of the potter. And I began to ponder on it. If God is the potter and we are the clay, why should that pot get marred in the hands of the potter? You see, the problem is not with the potter. There is no problem with the dexterity of the potter. There is no problem with the design of the potter. The problem often is with the clay. When we become stubborn, resistant, when we become inflexible, when we come to a point of we want to do it our way, we start facing the pressure of the wheel. And sometimes when the vessel gets marred, the same loving potter takes that clay and says, you know what? I love you so much. I can't give up on you. So I'm going to break you and start all over again. That is what he does. He breaks it. But the good part is he doesn't throw it away. He could do that. But because of his great unfailing love, he takes that same clay and starts all over again. You know what I have learned? The key to be happy in the Christian journey is to learn to cooperate with what God is doing. Amen. Learn to cooperate. God is working in your life. Whether you like it or not, he is working in your life. When you said, be my Lord, he took you at your word. He took me at my word. You said, Lord, I accept you. Come into my life. Be my Lord. He said, fine. I'll be your Lord. I'll work with you. And then along the way, Our plans sometimes start to interfere with what His plan is. And we start becoming stubborn and resistant. And we stop yielding. And we stop cooperating. And there comes a point when things are not working out. When all that is around us is crumbling. And God says, fine. You remember, you asked me to be your Lord. I love you greatly. So let's start all over again. He breaks it. He smashes it. He brings it to a point of no return. Till you lift your hands to God and say, God, I recognize I can't fight against you. I will not succeed if I fight against you. You see, God has a way of using pain because He loves us. Hallelujah. He is not a sadist. He is not someone who wants to see you suffer. He is not someone who has delight in what when something bad happens to you. He's working in your life. He's working in my life. He has a plan and purpose, and He will use pain sometimes to shape us. I want to use this illustration that I found. It's found in a book called Pointed Illustrations by a man called William Moses Tidwall. This is what Tidwall says. He's a British author, so he uses pound sterling as the currency. A bar of iron worth one pound when wrought into horseshoes is worth 2 pounds. If it is made into needles, it is worth 70 pounds. If it is made into penknife blades, it is worth 650 pounds. If it is made into springs for watches, it is worth 50,000 pounds. What a drilling the poor bar must undergo to be worth this. But the more it is hammered and passed through the fire, and it is beaten, pounded, and polished, the greater its value. Those who suffer most are capable of yielding most. And it is through pain that many times God accomplishes His purpose for our good and for His glory. This morning, as you are sitting in the house of the Lord, will you say to God, God, I will not resist your plan. I will be like clay, soft, malleable, do as you please. I want you to continue to work in my life. I want to be soft clay in your hands. Let me move to the third aspect. We have looked at the potter's vision. The potter has a design in his mind. We have looked at the potter's method. Let me highlight the master potter's faithfulness. You know, there is no shortage of clay. You and I are not indispensable to God. God can do things without us. With or without us, His work will continue. With or without us, His kingdom will grow. With or without us, the church will be built. With or without us, His plans and purposes will come into fruition. But God chooses to work with us. It's a choice He makes. He doesn't throw the clay away. When the clay becomes hard and stubborn, He doesn't say, get rid of it. Let's start with something better. He continues to persist with it. One of the attributes of our God is He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. His faithfulness is from generation to generation. His faithfulness extends to the clouds. His faithfulness causes Him to be faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to Him. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, He is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to Him. He cannot deny Himself. When He starts something in our life, He continues to work with us. I love Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who has called you, He will do it. I want you to recognize that this God will be faithful to us but will be faithful to the next generation too. When one generation walks in covenant with him, he keeps covenant to 1,000 generations. That is his nature. That is his character. That is who he is. We may fail him. I have failed him number of times. But when I look back, I've enjoyed the faithfulness of God. God has not given up on me. I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful that he continues to work in our life. He continues to shape, to fashion, yatsar, to fashion us according to his purposes. There is a sovereign God who is molding the details of our life. Napoleon Bonaparte, the French general, one day said this in a very callous way. He looked at a friend and said, God is on the side of the army that has the maximum artillery. That means whichever army has got more weapons, basically God is on their side. Years passed. He had a few setbacks. He was exiled to the island of St. Helena. And right there, he said these words, man proposes, God disposes. He recognized that there is a sovereign God who oversees the affairs of humankind. That this is God is the one who controls the destiny of people. This God is the one who continues to work in our life, not to give up, but to continue what he has begun in our life. Let me bring this message to a conclusion. I want to focus on four aspects about this great master potter. This will just be an encouragement for us. Number one, the master potter is in absolute control. Hallelujah. The master potter is in absolute control. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in our life without his knowledge. Not a hair will fall to the ground, not a sparrow from the sky, not a tear from our eye. Nothing escapes the eyes of an all-seeing God. He's absolutely in control. Secondly, the master potter is hands-on. He's involved. You may not see his hands. You may not feel his hands. You may not recognize that he is working through the difficult twists and turns of life. But he's hands-on. I love that old Sunday school song that we used to sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Loving and patient we must be, because he's still working on me. Have you seen that sign? Go slow, work in progress. I want you to know we are work in progress. He's still working in our lives. Hallelujah. He's working in ways we can't see. He's shaping us. He's molding us. Maybe you're having a difficulty adjusting with what is happening around you. Recognize the loving hands of this potter. He is still working on me. The third aspect about the master potter is he takes time to perfect his work. You see, God is a God of perfection. When he sets out to set something right, he will do it perfectly. And to do it perfectly, he needs time. He needs our cooperation. But he continues to work. In moments of despair, will you look up to heaven and say, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I don't understand all his plans. I don't understand all his purposes, but I trust God. The potter, the master potter, he's at work. He's in full control. He's hands-on. He takes time to perfect his work. But here's the beautiful truth. He has the ultimate good of us in his mind. Hallelujah. I want you to recognize this, that good is defined by God. any other definition of good falls short. When you and I try to define good, it gets messed up. He knows what is good. He knows what is best. His ultimate purpose is our good and His glory. Hallelujah. Our good, His glory. His plans are always good. Whatever He allows in our life is for our good. Momentarily, we may not understand it. Maybe the pieces of the puzzle don't fit together. Maybe things are not falling into place at this moment. But recognize that He's a good God. His plans are good. He is working in our lives. I want us to respond to God this morning. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I want to say this to you. The circumstance that you are facing is the wheel in the hand of the potter. He's holding you against that wheel and shaping you, trusting that He is the master potter, will bring great peace and liberation in your heart. Would you say to God, I will not resist, I will not fight, I will not stand against what you are doing in my life. I want to be soft clay. Here I am, Lord. At times, some of the actions of this master potter may be painful and hard to bear. His plan may not make complete sense. And you may begin to ask, why is this happening to me? No matter how broken you feel this morning, God is a specialist at taking that which is broken and making something beautiful out of it. What kind of vessel do you want to be? Do you want to be one filled with bitterness? Or one overflowing with love and grace? When we cooperate with God, we become a vessel useful for His purposes, fit for the Master's use. What assurance, what peace floods our soul when we surrender to the caring hands of this Master Potter. The hands of the Master Potter are gentle hands. They are loving hands. They are patient hands. They are hands that are secure. Would you respond to Him today?